All right, it is Monday, July 16th, and this is take three of the first Beachcast. We are coming to you from the beach in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and we are looking out over the ocean. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm doing great because we're at the beach.
I know. It's great.
Recording a conversation. This is probably more awkward for everybody else.
I know.
On the beach right now.
Luckily for our first Beachcast, the beach is pretty desolate because of some heavy fog this morning, but we are soldiering through it.
It's a rough life.
It is, yeah. So we are going to do something a little different this week. We thought about trying to do a full episode, but it's just not going to happen. So we're going to do short little snippets and try to put a little bit out maybe every day, every other day. So Jesse and I went and visited a Presbyterian church in the area called Cape Cod Presbyterian Church, which is in Hyannis, Massachusetts, the OPC church. And we had an awesome time.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, the sermon was on point. It was funny. We noticed that it wasn't even the teaching elder that was preaching that day. It was one of the ruling elders, and he kind of like put to shame most regular full-time pastors with just his crispness and his exposition. So Jesse, what did you think of the sermon?
It was fantastic. It was great to be a Presbyterian for a day.
It was nice. Yeah, everything was decent and in good order, for sure.
What I love about this particular service was just, we were talking about the structure is so thoughtful. Everything is there on purpose and for a purpose. And it's to lead you in this way, kind of like the zenith, which is like the proclamation of the word. So going through the process of confessing sin and then being reminded that you are free, that you are redeemed, and that the sin has been forgiven. And then you come into the word, like you're ready by that point.
Yeah.
You rejoiced, you've responded. And the sermon was definitely on point. It was really, really well structured. And yet there was this wonderful sensitivity and pastoral care that was part of it. So it wasn't just like a speech.
Yeah.
And it was so strongly connected to the scriptures. It was just only two verses, right?
Right. It was just one verse.
One verse.
Colossians 1:23.
Yeah, it was almost puritanical.
Yeah, I mean, he backtracked, and I guess they've been going through, it sounds like they've been going through Colossians a little bit, so he backtracked and talked a little bit about the passages leading into it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It was just, it was on point, and it was exegetical in the best way possible without being overly technical.
Right.
You know, I know the pastor from this church, and he's a really sharp academic pastor, and I have a feeling that his congregation is probably on the more academic side than a lot, but even so, the pastor or the elder who was preaching took a lot of time to make sure that he wasn't just being like overly technical for the sake of technicality. And the liturgy, everything, you know, I think I said that there wasn't anything that was auxiliary in the service. There wasn't anything that was just tossed in. And what was really interesting, we got there a little bit early and they had the doors to the sanctuary closed because they were doing Sunday school in there. And it actually, for me, it almost built like this sense of anticipation.
Yeah,
like it was like we're waiting to go into like a concert or something. Yeah. And it was great because it was like I was itching to get in there and like sit under the word.
Yeah.
And just the selection of hymns, everything drove to that final point of just steadfast faith in Christ is really the only hope we have for stability in life was really kind of the point of his sermon, which I just thought was so, so insightful.
There were two things that really jumped out to me. The first was that, as you mentioned, the ruling elder gave such, I think, a commanding sermon. And really, it wasn't necessarily about how expressive he was.
Right.
But how strongly he was communicating the scriptures that I think if I didn't even know he was a ruling elder, I might have thought he was a pastor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's how strong it was. And the second thing was I was reminded about how so many times structure and liturgical structure in particular gets a really bad rap. But here it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a sense of like, well, we need to give the Spirit room to work. And yet the Spirit was clearly at work in this congregation by way of the order that was presented there.
Yeah.
So that was really, you don't, that's probably normal in a lot of OPC churches.
Yeah, I think so.
But not everywhere.
Yeah, and one of the things that the OPC does so well, at least in the sort of limited experience I've had with it, is that they really focus on the fact that they're ordinary means of grace churches. So they're not worried so much about like presenting an extraordinary experience, and the liturgy really plays into that. I get the feeling and I get the impression that you could come on any given Sunday and the liturgy and the sermon would be equally strong. Like, I don't feel like we were there on a week where like, you know, this was an amazing, exceptional situation. I just get the feeling that this is just week in, week out, you know, consistently focused on the Spirit, focused on Christ's work on the cross, and just every step of the way the congregation was involved in that it was being actively led by the one conducting the service, which was, I just think there's a lot of churches that are missing that, where it almost becomes like a show, that there's the pastor and the worship team and you learn from the sermon,
right.
But for the most part, the congregation is a sort of a passive element. They're just sort of there to be there, and to be preached at and sung in front of. And then there's the churches that go so far to the other side where, like, the congregation is basically leading the service almost, like, extemporaneously. And this was sort of that perfect, I think that perfect kind of golden mean, where the congregation was involved because they were being actively and effectively led, not just by the pastor, but by the liturgy that they've been trained into, you know, just week in and week out, which I think is so important.
Yeah, I agree. There was definitely a sense that this was just the regular pattern. And they were used to coming and getting this experience. Yeah. And in point of fact, it's pretty impressive in some respects that the pastor wasn't there. Sometimes when the pastor's not there, you anticipate, even if it's just kind of on the side, that it's going to be a lesser experience.
Yeah.
And so there's something to be said for a church that can carry on and move through that continual pattern of liturgy in a way that's meaningful and just as fulfilling as when the pastor is present.
Well, the pastor was there, but I don't think that he was super involved. The one who did the benediction was the pastor. But I don't get the impression that he was, you know, that this guy was just sort of filling a form that the pastor had, you know, established for him. I get the feeling that he was actively involved in planning the whole thing, because the choice of hymns, the way that the stanzas were broken up. So you were singing one stanza at one point, and then there was a reflection or a meditation, and then the sermon, and then we would sing the rest of the song. Every step of that was integrated into the flow of the sermon. Even things like the call to worship were connected to the passages that he was pulling out for support in certain points he was making. So it really was just it was kind of a masterpiece. It was just a really well done, well put together sermon that I'm a pretty critical guy, and I
really,
I, yeah, you think, I walked out of there not feeling like there was really anything to be critical of. There was, there was things that I might have done differently, but there was nothing that I went out of there going, ooh, that was a bad call.
Right.
And you know, sometimes you got to learn to just be okay with a different way of things and not be critical. And that's been a struggle for me. But, this wasn't me having to like swallow it and be like, well, I'll just overlook this. There was just really was nothing that I would have changed. There was nothing that I thought was out of place or anything that was missing. It would be nice to be able to go on a week where the senior pastor is preaching, who is the guy who's preaching, you know, week in and week out. And I'm not sure, maybe this guy was an intern. I thought I heard somebody say he was an intern.
Okay.
So he might be pursuing ordination or something like that. He might be, I don't think he's licensed, because this is the church that I was at for Presbytery when I visited a little while ago.
Right.
And I don't remember seeing him at there. So he may just not have been there. He may have been out of town, but I don't know if he's licensed and he's pursuing ordination, or if he's just, you know, they just let the ruling elders address the congregation once in a while, which is fine too. But I thought it was great. And I really liked, you know, I was kind of keeping an eye on the pastor. He was taking a copious amount of notes.
I saw that too, yeah.
So I get the feeling that he probably is going to sit down with him afterwards and go through. And I think that's probably why the sermon was so excellent, is because the pastor is really involved in following up with and shepherding his elders, in helping them. Shepherding might not be the right word, but in really helping them grow their skills as teachers. Beyond just the ruling component of being a ruling elder, which I know some churches have ruling elders that they're competent to address the congregation if they need to, but you probably don't want them to have to.
Right.
Sometimes there's some timid guys that they just don't do great in front of a crowd. And this was a pretty large church for an OPC church. I'd say there's probably 70 people there.
Yeah.
So it was just a really great experience.
Sounds like we're really fanboying this, but it was pretty exceptional.
It was. So if you ever get a chance, I mean, I'll put a link, if I can find it, I'll put a link to this church in the show notes. The sermons are awesome. I've been listening to the sermons. You know, I listened for a couple of weeks before coming because I wanted to get a feel for the sermons and the length. But it's a great, it'd be a great addition to your podcasting repertoire to kind of just get another chance to sort of take in the word. And I've been trying to link on our Twitter account. I've been trying to link to a lot of sermons lately, just because I think your podcasts are great, but there isn't really anything that substitutes for a qualified man
right.
preaching the word. It doesn't substitute for your local church, but it really does. I found it to be really edifying to sort of shift the balance between listening to a ton of podcasts and a few sermons to listening to more sermons and less podcasts.
Yeah, there's something to be said, too, for finding good preaching in your area that's not necessarily famous or has a cult of personality.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something to be said for kind of exploring that and listening to those sermons. And I think I'm definitely going to be subscribing to this because it was just so amazingly thoughtful. And it was encouraging to me to see that there are people that are really concerned with worshiping God rightly on the Lord's Day and making sure that all, like you said, all of the entire experience was super cohesive, like yeah. amazingly cohesive, actually. And so you could tell there was a lot of care, probably a lot of prayer and preparation that went into not just creating a theme for Sunday, but something that was like this really nice, wonderful arc of the whole story of redemption. Yeah. It was really the gospel all throughout.
It was, yeah.
And so it was just a really, it was fun, it was challenging, it was really impactful for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means I am Presbyterian now, or...
I don't think you are. We didn't go to the second service, so I don't think that you're Presbyterian yet.
One step closer. But it was, yeah, so it just made me more excited even about my own church and about getting exposure to all different kinds of preaching. Like, it just reminded me, there's so much good teaching and preaching yeah. out there, and it's in our local communities. And sometimes we just need to have eyes and ears to go out and find it a little bit. And yeah. again, not a replacement, but what a wonderful supplement. And also get an idea of, like, what's going on, what's being taught.
Yeah, and...
where you live.
I wish they would, like, podcast the entire service. We kind of poked a little bit of fun, but my favorite part of the day was the dude who came up and was like, don't worry, I'll get you some seats. So we get there, and this door's closed, great. And we walk in, and I'm looking at, like, a map on the wall, trying to, you know, just kind of get checking things out. And this usher comes over to Jesse, and he's like, oh, are you new here? And Jesse's like, yeah, we're just visiting. And he goes, don't worry, I'll find you some seats. And he, like, found specific seats and escorted us over. So, like, even that, I mean, hospitality is not the gospel, but it really sets the stage for the gospel. So even little things like the right. usher taking notice of two people who aren't used to being there and making sure that they have a seat. Because I know times that Ashley and I have visited churches, sometimes it's like the most awkward part
it's
of the service
awkward.
Is finding a place to sit.
Right.
I also appreciated that there was no stand up and awkwardly talk to your neighbor moment in the service. You know, churches do that, that's fine. But it was nice to kind of be able to just sort of come and not feel the pressure of
yeah.
interacting with, like, forcing interactions with people or trying to, like, find, like, Ashley and I, when we were on vacation last time, we went to a local church that had, like, a stand up and greet your neighbor moment, and it was, like, really long, and it was awkward because it's like you say hello to the person and then there's, like, nothing to talk about.
Right.
We were stuck in the middle, so it was like one person next to us said hi and then walked the other direction, and then we were just kind of standing there awkwardly for like 10 minutes. So that was nice too. So this has been a flavor of our beach conversations. Jesse, do you have any final thoughts before we get back to our restful time?
I just wanted to ask, how do you feel about the meet and greet times as part of a service?
You know, I don't know that it should be part of the service. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a real distinct beginning and an end to an OPC yep. service. There's the call to worship,
right.
and then there's the benediction. And everything that happens between that is governed by the regulative principle.
Yeah, it's focused.
In a more restrictive way. So I could see, like, before the call to worship, like, that's when we do announcements, yep. is before the call to worship. Or if we have special music, sometimes we'll do that before
right.
The call to worship. I guess that would make sense to me, but I think it can just be really awkward. And I don't remember what survey it was, but there was a survey that came out a while ago where people actually said that the call to worship was one of the things that kind of drove them away from visiting a second time, because it can be so, like, so awkward to have that, especially if you're new and you don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes people want to kind of, like, scope things out for a little while before
I agree.
Talking, and it just can be really weird. So I think it can be done well, but I think most of the time it's not.
I agree.
My experience.
It can be overwhelming and then disjointed if it's done in the wrong
right.
spot. It disrupts the flow of worship or
yeah.
the focus that's trying to be, you're kind of trying to set a table to come before the Lord, so to
right.
speak. So, yeah, I love that, actually, because, like we talked about in hindsight, especially at, like, it's a decent sized church, but you never know. You don't want to, like, sit in somebody's seat.
Right.
You know, like, that can
yeah.
actually be a thing.
Yeah.
And so it was nice. This guy, like, he actually went away from us. And then he came back and he's like, gentlemen,
I got you two seats.
Yeah. And we're like, all
right.
He
was great. And then,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you
awesome.
Saw him too. Before the service, he was, like, real intentional. He like went and got a glass of water
yeah,
for the pastor
that.
And put it up
like,
on the pulpit.
Awesome.
And The one thing that I did find was funny is we walked in and nobody gave us bulletins. And then we walked over and found the bulletins, and then they came up, were like, do you guys need a bulletin? So, it, I mean, it's little things like that that are fun to point out. But it's a great church. It's Presbyterian Church of Cape Cod. I'll put a link to the church in the show notes. The teaching elder's name is James LaBelle, and he's a great dude. He's the Presbyterian Church historian, so he's really nice. He's really, really well-read, really sharp. So just check out their stuff. And we'll try to come back to you a little bit later in the week with some more thoughts from our vacation.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. All right. Later, everybody.